is $19,600, and that amount is going to be split up. And you want me to put that on the record right now?
Please.
How it'll be split?
Yeah.
So Barbara Gail Witherspoon will receive $11,760.
$11,760.
Okay. And then Kelly Balnicki, $1,960.
One more time.
$1,960.
Thank you.
Hannah Lewis, $1,960.
Okay.
Daniel Witherspoon, $1,960. And then Maya Witherspoon, $1,960.
Okay.
All right.
How many clerk did you get on that?
And I told Madam Clerk.
Yes, okay.
I'll provide Madam Clerk with a typed printout for her.
So on 21-06-080, any restitution on that case?
Yes, Your Honor. That'll
All right,
be...
Can we go count by count on that?
Yes, I will.
Okay.
So counts 1 through 14, the restitution payable to the estate of Robert Moore is $7,150.
Robert Moore, count 1 through 14. Whoever's talking in the audience needs to not be so loud that I can hear them, please. Thank you. Is that accurate? What, $7,150 to Robert Moore's estate?
Yes,
counts 1 through 14. What about the other counts?
And I forgot to tell Your Honor, just like in the 2019 case where a defendant is paying up front that $59,756.19 figure, today she's paying up front the total $19,600 that goes on the 21-06079, and she'll pay up front in full the $7,150 payable to the estate of Robert Moore.
So she's paying those today?
She's paying them today. Mr. McKeith and I are going to go downstairs when this hearing is over. He has a check for $100,000 that's going to be split up.
Okay.
I'm announcing it.
All right. Any other restitution on case ending in 6080?
Yes, Your Honor. Payable to Sonia Costa.
Is that count 15?
That is count 15 and 15.
Okay.
And that's $2,698.80.
Okay.
And then under, that's it for that case.
On 3503, any restitution?
Yes. Payable to the estate of Sarah B. Barker,
$8,965. Okay.
And that's it for that case.
Case ending in 3504, any restitution?
Yes, Your Honor. Payable to Joanne Huff.
H-U-F-F?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay.
$1,812.51.
Okay. Madam Clerk, do you have all of those names?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. All right.
Also, Your Honor, I do have a list of, for the 2019 case, would be the heirs of Maurice Myers, which they will be paid that balance, the outstanding balance. And I have a list of the heirs here with their percentage.
Okay.
Can I go ahead and run through the list?
Sure.
With their percentage?
Yeah.
And then soon the court will then order all those figures that have been announced.
Okay, as long as you give me a copy to read later.
Sure. Well, if you're gonna read it out loud, I won't read it also.
Well, the percentages, just put it on the record now, that way I can make sure there's an agreement to all of this.
Okay, and there are 50 heirs to.
50, 50?
50.
Okay, I'll read it later.
Yes. Can I approach your honor?
Yes.
To
Mr. McKeighton, the restitution amounts that Ms. Bauer just read off into the record, thank you, ma'am. Is Ms. Hudson agreeing to those restitution amounts?
We are, Judge, as part of the resolution of this case.
Okay. And every felony case has $550 in court costs. The case is with multiple counts. There's an additional $50 in court costs for every felony. So that'll be added to count 6080.
Based upon her circumstance, Your Honor, can you impose those as liens?
I will. Any investigative costs being sought?
Not that I've seen, Jim.
$100 plus the prosecution on each case. Any invest costs, and are there any surcharges on the exploitation?
Invest costs on 2303503CF, it was $50 to Largo Police Department.
Okay.
Apologize, Your Honor, that was the one figure I did not look at. Okay, and then on 23-03504, $50 to St. Petersburg Police Department.
Okay.
On 2106079, I don't see any requested on that case for me. I don't see any on 2106080 either.
Okay. And the last one, 19-13778.
I don't see it on that case, Your Honor.
All right. Madam Clerk, can you announce the credit on 19-13778, please?
Mm-hmm. 4 days.
And on 21-6079?
3 days.
21-6080?
3 days.
23-3503?
1 day.
23-03504?
1 day.
All right. Ms. Hudson, raise your right hand for me, please. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you. Ma'am, we went over the guidelines, 126.9 months up to 135 years. We went over the minimum, maximum, possible penalties for each case and the entire case. All of your cases combined are 135 years. It sounds like Mr. McKeighton was able to work out a deal for you with the state attorney's office for 8.5 years in the Department of Corrections with credit for the time that is just announced, followed by 20 years of probation. Is that what you want to do today?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you believe that to be in your best interest?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, we went over the amount of restitution, court costs, fines, fees, the breakdown of each. Are you agreeing to those amounts without a hearing?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Any questions for me about what we're doing today?
No, ma'am.
All right, tell me your full name, please.
Tracy Renee Hudson.
And how old are you?
55.
How far did you get in school?
Associate's degree.
So you can read and write, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
You've had a chance to go over a plea form with your lawyer?
Many times, thank you.
Okay, and you understand all of the constitutional rights contained in that form?
Yes, I do.
You understand that by pleading guilty today, you're waiving or giving up those rights?
Yes, I do.
That includes the right to a jury trial, where the state would have the burden of proving this case or each of these cases beyond a reasonable doubt. Do you understand that?
I do.
You're also giving up the right to cross-examine the state's witnesses, call witnesses of your own, use the subpoena powers to compel people to come to court, testify or not testify in those trials. And if you chose not to testify, that right could not be used against you in any of those trials. Do you understand that?
Yes, I do.
Waiving all of those rights freely and voluntarily.
Yes, I am.
Has anyone threatened or coerced you in any way to enter a plea today?
No, they have not.
Are you currently under the influence of drugs,
no.
alcohol, or medication of any kind?
No, ma'am.
Suffering from any mental illness?
No, ma'am.
Satisfied with the help and advice of your lawyer?
Perfectly satisfied.
Good. Do you understand if you're not a United States citizen, you could be deported or removed?
Yes, I know.
Any DNA evidence that would exonerate Ms. Hudson?
None that I'm aware of, Judge.
State is not aware of any.
All right. Factual basis, please.
on 23-035-03CF, third-degree felony exploitation. This offense occurred between January 25, 2019 and November 30, 2019 in various locations throughout Pinellas County, Florida. During the charging period, the victim was an elderly person or disabled adult, as those terms are defined in 825.101, and the defendant knew that she was an elderly person. On January 25, 2019, the victim executed a durable POA appointing Ms. Hudson as her attorney in fact. The defendant also tried to become her court-appointed guardian in September of 2019. During the charging period, the defendant was acting as her attorney in fact. She stood in a position of trust and confidence and had a business relationship with the victim. The defendant breached the fiduciary duty owed to the victim while acting as her agent under a power of attorney, resulting in an unauthorized appropriation. She knowingly obtained and used money belonging solely to the victim. Specifically, in September and October of 2019, the defendant wrote three checks payable to herself or her business, Florida Guardianship Services, in the amount of $8,965. The defendant wasn't entitled to this money. She used it for her own benefit or the benefit of other persons not entitled and not for the necessities of the victim. Under 23-
What case number was that?
That was 23-03503.
Thank you.
Okay. For 23-03504CF, one count of third-degree felony exploitation. This offense occurred between December 13, 2017 and March 12, 2019 in various locations throughout Pinellas County. During the charging period, the victim was an elderly person or disabled adult, as those terms are defined in Section 825.101. On February 2015, the court appointed the defendant as the guardian for the victim. During the charging period, the defendant acted as that court-appointed guardian, stood in a position of trust and confidence, and had a business relationship with the victim. The defendant and breached the fiduciary duty owed to the victim while acting as her guardian, which resulted in an unauthorized appropriation of money that belonged solely to the victim. And the defendant obtained and used the victim's money. Specifically, on December 13 of 17, the defendant deposited a check into her personal bank account, and the check was payable to the victim. It was a refund check payable to the victim. The defendant was not entitled to that money. In addition, on February 7th of 19, the defendant petitioned the court for guardianship fees for conducting 8 hours of property-related activities for a total of $480. The defendant never performed those services. In fact, she had previously petitioned the court and was paid for those property-related services. The defendant used the victim's money for herself and for the benefit of other persons not entitled to it, and not for the necessities of the victim. In case 21-06080, regarding counts 15 and 16, these offenses occurred between February 9 of 17 and November 19 of 19 in various locations throughout Pinellas County, Florida. During the charging period, the victim was 65 years of age or older, and the defendant knew how old the victim was. She was acting as the court-appointed guardian for the victim, stood in a position of trust and confidence, and had a business relationship. She breached the fiduciary duty owed to the victim while acting as her guardian. Specifically, the defendant hired someone to appraise the victim's jewelry, and the appraisal report listed her jewelry at a value of $2,698.80. The defendant failed to provide a copy of this appraisal report to the guardianship court, and she made a false written declaration under penalty of perjury when she signed and filed a verified initial inventory for the victim and failed to disclose the jewelry in that initial inventory or any amended inventory. So the defendant stole the victim's jewelry. As to counts 1 through 14 of case 21-06080, these offenses occurred between August 2nd, 2016 and November 19 of 2019. They occurred in various locations throughout Pinellas County, Florida. During the charging period, the victim was an elderly person who lacked capacity to consent, and the victim knew that. The defendant was acting as the court-appointed guardian for the victim. The defendant stood in a position of trust and had a business relationship. The defendant breached that fiduciary duty owed to the victim while acting as the guardian, and it resulted in unauthorized appropriation of the victim's property. Specifically, the defendant hired someone to appraise the victim's personal property, and that property appraisal report listed the value at $8,250. The defendant forged and altered that appraisal report, and she filed an altered report with the guardianship court listing the victim's property valued at only $1,100. Included in the victim's property were 13 firearms, 10 of which the defendant stole, and those are the 10 grand theft charges for stealing the firearms belonging to the victim. The exploitation charge results from personal property that the defendant redacted from the original appraisal report, and again, failed to report that personal property to the guardianship court. And then she's charged with two counts of perjury in an official proceeding and one count of perjury by false declaration regarding the perjury in an official proceeding.
Is account 11 grand theft? Is that the jewelry 1 through 10 or firearm? Okay.
No, the jewelry is part of counts 15 and 16 for Sonia Costa.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at it wrong. Count 1 was exploitation. All right.
Right.
So 2 through 11 are the 10 counts of grand theft.
Of the firearms.
Thank you.
Correct. All right. So regarding the first count of perjury in an official proceeding, in November of 16, the defendant signed a petition for order authorizing payment of guardian fees and costs. And as a part of that petition, she attached an affidavit wherein she stated that she had managed the ward's estate in a reasonable and prudent manner and had employed her best judgment in all transactions, signing this affidavit in her petition, knowing that she had altered the appraisal report, stole the victim's guns, etc. So that was a false statement made to the guardianship court. As to the second count of the perjury in official proceeding, which is count 13, on November 9th of 16, she filed and signed a petition for order authorizing the guardian to sell the victim's vehicle. And she attached to that petition a portion of the altered and forged appraisal report. And she did so knowing that it was altered and forged. So again, she committed a count of perjury in an official proceeding when she attached that to her petition, knowing it was false. As to count 14, perjury by false written declaration, on December 8, 2016, again, she made a false written declaration under penalty of perjury in a verified initial inventory of the guardian, wherein she stated under oath that the victim's property was valued at $1,100 instead of the $8,000 figure that was set forth in the original appraisal report by the person she hired. As to 21-06079 CF, secondary felony exploitation of an elderly, this event occurred between July 14 of 17 and March 14 of 18 in various locations throughout Pinellas County. During the charging period, the victims, Mr. and Mrs. Valnicki, they were elderly as that term is defined in section 825.101. In July of 17, both of the elderly victims executed durable power of attorneys, appointing the defendant to act as their agent. During the charging period, the defendant was acting as the agent, stood in a position of trust, and had a business relationship. She breached the fiduciary duty owed to the victims, resulting in an unauthorized appropriation of money. Specifically, during the charging period, the defendant wrote herself checks, 16 checks totaling $34,790. Two of which she was not entitled to. and those two checks totaled $19,600. She deposited those two checks into her personal and business account, and she used the funds to pay for her own personal expenses and not for the necessities required for the victim's support and maintenance. As to 2019-13778, this is one first-degree felony count of exploitation of an elderly person. This offense occurred between November 9 of 17 and October 9 of 2018 in various locations throughout Pinellas County, Florida. During the entire charging period, the victim was an elderly person who lacked the capacity to consent, and the defendant knew that the victim was elderly and lacked capacity for consent. In November of 2017, the victim signed a durable power of attorney and healthcare surrogate appointing the defendant to act as his agent. And during the charging period, the defendant wrote, basically during the first 10 months, that she was added to the victim's bank accounts as his agent under that durable power of attorney. She wrote checks payable to herself totaling $541,541.12. During the same time that she was acting as this victim's POA, she was also a court-appointed guardian on 31 different cases. And according to her statement to the Department of Corrections, I'm sorry, Department of Children and Families caseworker, she indicated she was charging Mr. Myers $100 per hour for her POA services. And if we took her statement to be true, that would calculate to her charging the victim $1,616.54 per day for her POA services. She was not entitled to that money. She used it, she deposited the funds into her personal and business accounts and used the money to pay for her personal and business expenses and not for the benefit of the victim who was entitled to that money.
All right, thank you. So what I'd like to do is give any victim or victim's family an opportunity to speak before sentencing. Do you know who wanted to speak?
Your Honor, I know that Mr. Chuck Tillman is here. He's an attorney. He's here today representing the estate of Maurice Myers and all the heirs of Mr. Myers, and I know he'd like to make a statement to the court.
Okay. Mr. McKeighton, if you and Ms. Hudson wanted to have a seat at the table, let me just say this. For whoever's going to make a statement, it's victim impact statement because it's an agreed upon disposition. I'm not deciding a sentence today. Anyone that's listening on Zoom, I'm going to ask that you keep yourself on mute. And if you, I don't know if any of the victims that wanted to speak are on Zoom, but I'm going to ask that no one unmute themselves until I actually call your name, please. Okay. So Ms. Bauer, who wanted to speak first, Mr. Tillman?
Yes, Mr. Tillman.
Yes, Your Honor, may I support? Our office represents the estate of Maurice Myers. We've had an ongoing civil action against Ms. Hudson. And I only speak to address the restitution being ordered specifically today. We feel that it might be fair in so much as our estate lost much more than the other families. We would be remiss if we didn't think that this should be a pro rata thing as far as how the restitution is being ordered. That being said, I've spoken with Ms. Bauer a couple of times about this, and I understand why it is being done the way it is, and we accept that, but I did want to put that on the record for the benefit of the heirs.
Was there anything that the family wanted me to know about the sentence? How this has impacted their lives? I'd be happy to hear about that.
Not to my knowledge, Your Honor. I did send out the Zoom link info to them for today's hearing, and I haven't received any confirmation one way or the other as to whether they'd like to speak or not.
Okay. Is there anyone on Zoom who is a family member of Maurice Myers? Family members? Okay. Nobody's answering.
And I just have one question for Mr. Tillman.
Sure.
And Mr. Tillman, did I communicate with you throughout this process as far as what the
final disposition was going to be as far as 8.5 years followed by 20 years probation so she can pay back the heirs?
Yes, she did.
Okay, and were you satisfied with that disposition?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Okay. All right, thank you, Mr. Tillman,
thank
for
you,
being
Your Honor.
Here today.
Your Honor, I believe that the daughter of Mr. Robert Balnicki is maybe appearing via Zoom when I last spoke with her. Barbara.
Is Barbara Witherspoon on Zoom?
She may or may not want to make a statement.
She's waving at me. Ms. Witherspoon, you can unmute yourself if you wanted to talk.
Yes, I did write a statement.
Okay, you're welcome to read it now.
All right. I am Barbara Witherspoon, representing my deceased parents, Robert and Annette Balnicki. Today, I speak on their behalf to convey the anguish they endured while under the control and deception of Tracy Hudson, the defendant in this case. Throughout the period when Mrs. Hudson acted as guardian for my parents, they constantly complained to me about their belief that she was stealing from them. They witnessed their car disappear without any explanation. My father would often mention how things kept vanishing from their home without any logical reason. Their beloved cats were taken away by Miss Hudson, leaving them in distress and without any explanation of why or where they were taken. During this time, Miss Hudson contacted me, and whenever I discussed my parents' concerns with her, she would deflect and complain about how difficult they were to deal with. She tried to convince me that she had their best interest at heart and blamed their attitudes for the problems. Miss Hudson maintained frequent communication with me, especially during the death and funeral of Annette Balnicki. She acted more like a family member than a guardian. Now I realize that she was deceiving me as well in order to maintain control over my parents. Now that the extent of her theft and deceit have been exposed, I feel regretful, for doubting my parents and instead trusting Tracy, whom they had initially trusted. Tracy Hudson, you not only stole their meager possessions and savings, but also their dignity, causing them inexplicable agony and sadness in their final years. On behalf of my parents, Robert and Annette, their children, and their grandchildren, we applaud the sentencing you have received. I can only hope that after serving your time, you will emerge with a contrite heart and truly understand the pain and suffering you've inflicted not only upon my family, but also upon the others, many others, you have shamefully deceived.
Ms. Witherspoon, thank you for joining us today.
Yes.
Is there anyone else in your family that wishes to speak? I see some other Witherspoons on Zoom today. They're welcome to if they'd like. Okay.
Your Honor, regarding the estate of Robert Moore.
Okay.
I know I spoke with both of his children, Ryan Moore and Lisa McKinnon. One or both may be joining us. I'm not sure if they want to make a statement today.
Are any of the children of Robert Moore present either in the courtroom or on Zoom that wish to be heard today? If you are, please unmute yourself and let me know. No response.
Your Honor, regarding victim Sonia Costa, I did speak with her son throughout these proceedings. He did not want to speak. He was, you know, pleased with how the case was being disposed of. I did speak with attorney Hamden Baskin, who represents the current guardian, and he's pleased with today's sentence. I also reached out to
both of the law firms that represent the estate of Sarah Barker and represent the guardian of Joanne Huff. I never heard back from them regarding the sentencing hearing, but they knew, you know, that they were going to get their restitution paid up front.
Okay. Are there any, is there anyone from any of the law firms related to Sarah Barker or Joanne Huff present on Zoom that wish to make a statement, or any family members? So you can unmute yourself. Okay, I don't hear anyone.
Your Honor, that was all the state had. The only thing I forgot to request was DNA.
You need $7 for DNA. Any objection to that, Mr. McPherson?
No, Judge.
All right. Does Ms. Hudson wish to make a statement before sentencing?
She does not, Judge. I have a couple of things I just want to clarify on the record, sure. Just to make sure.
Yep. Ms. Hudson, come on up to the podium, please.
Judge, I believe these things were announced, but I just want to make sure for my own housekeeping that we've got it straight. She's going to be receiving an 8.5-year Department of Corrections sentence followed by 20 years of probation. That's going to be on the top count in case number 19-13778-CF. Everything in all the other counts with the other case numbers are all 8.5 years or less, and they all run concurrent with the 2019 number.
Yes.
Second part of the judge, as was announced by Ms. Bauer, this is a below guidelines sentencing departure. And I think the reason, I don't know if we announced the reason or not, but it's basically a legitimate, uncoerced negotiation between the state and the defense.
Okay.
I think that covers our concerns. The credit for time served was announced by the clerk's office. Thank you. Ms. Hudson actually responded to your question. She's going to be tendering guilty pleas to all of the charges in her best interest to do so.
Okay.
I have gone over a plea form. She signed it in my presence at initial these page.
All right. Thank you. And I'll take that from you now if you like. Anything else, Ms. Bauer, that we need to talk about?
Mr. McKay, did she initial all the pages of the special conditions and then sign the last page?
I gave it to you, yeah.
No, right. The one that I handed you for her to sign.
Yep, and I've got to read those.
Have it around?
Oh, okay. I apologize, I have to tell
you. Okay, so she's agreeing to all the special conditions that, and she's signed
yes,
them in
the resolution. Yes, Judge.
Perfect, thank you.
They should be initialed and then signed on the last page.
There.
Put my glasses in. All right. All right, Ms. Hudson, having heard a factual basis, I'll find there was a factual basis and accept your plea. I'll adjudicate you guilty, sentence you to 8.5 years in the Department of Corrections, followed by 20 years of probation. On case number 19-13778, on that case, there's $541,541.12 in restitution, with $59,756.19 payable today. The court costs, fines, and fees as announced. 2106079CF will be an adjudication, 8.5 years in the Department of Corrections with no probation to follow, with the restitution totaling $19,600 on that case, the breakdown being $11,760 payable to Barbara Gail Witherspoon, $1,960 payable to Kelly Balnicki, $1,960 payable to Hannah Lewis, $1,960 payable to Daniel Witherspoon, $1,960 payable to Maya Witherspoon. Case number 2106080. I will adjudicate you guilty, sentence you to 5 years in the Department of Corrections, concurrent on each count and concurrent with any other DOC sentence. Restitution on that case is on counts 1 through 14, $7,150. So do you want me to just do that on count one to make it easier for the clerk?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Count one, $7,150 payable to the estate of Robert Moore. Counts, and I have the addresses for you, Madam Clerk, in a moment. Counts 15 and 16, we'll put it on count 15, the grand theft charge. Payable to Sonia Costa, $2,698.80. 2303503, adjudicates you guilty, sentence you to 5 years in the Department of Corrections, concurrent with all other case numbers. Total amount of restitution, I'll order $8,965. Payable to the estate of Sarah Barker. Case number 2303504. Adjudicate you guilty, sentence you to 5 years in the Department of Corrections. Restitution totaling $1,812.51, I'll order today, payable to Joanne Huff. Invest costs as announced. All court costs, fines, and fees announced will be imposed as liens, not as conditions of probation, because all of your disposable income that you have will be payable as a condition of probation. So let me go over the conditions of probation with you that you've signed and agreed to. Number one, the defendant understands and agrees that she will be on probation for 20 years following her prison sentence, and that her primary focus while on probation will be to maintain full-time employment so that she can pay restitution owed to the estate of Maurice Myers. Two, the defendant understands and agrees that the total amount of restitution owed to the estate of Maurice Myers equals $541,541.12. The defendant understands and agrees that prior to the sentencing hearing, she paid $59,756.19 towards restitution, leaving an outstanding balance of $481,784.93. The defendant understands and agrees that there will be no early termination of probation until the entire outstanding balance of restitution is paid in full. As soon as the entire outstanding balance of restitution has been paid in full, the defendant can petition the court for early termination of probation. The defendant understands and agrees that the circuit judge will retain jurisdiction over this case to determine the amount of the minimum restitution payment to be paid by the defendant each month towards the outstanding balance of restitution. Within 90 days from her release from prison, the defendant will contact the judicial assistant and schedule a restitution status hearing in front of the circuit judge assigned to this case so that the circuit judge can determine the amount of the minimum restitution payment to be paid by the defendant each month towards the outstanding balance of restitution. The first restitution status hearing must occur within 120 days from her release date from prison. The defendant must be physically present in the courtroom at all future restitution hearings. The defendant must provide notice of the date, time, and place of the first restitution status hearing to both her probation officer and the state attorney's office. At all times during the pendency of her probation, the defendant must maintain full-time employment. Full-time employment means at least 40 hours per week. The defendant must provide employment records for her probation officer as indicated below. The defendant shall not be employed as a caregiver for an elderly person or disabled adult, and she shall not engage in the legal or fiduciary relationship with an elderly person or disabled adult, including, but not limited to, guardian, trustee, personal representative, conservator, and or agent under a power of attorney. At least 5 days prior to the first restitution status hearing date, the defendant shall provide her probation officer and the state attorney's office copies of documentation which shows the name, address, and telephone number of her current employers, and documentation which shows all sources of income and the amount of income, including but not limited to copies of cash receipts, paychecks, pay stubs, and our bank statements showing electronic payroll deposits. On or about 10 days prior to the first restitution status hearing, the defendant shall fully complete and sign under oath in the presence of a notary public a family law financial affidavit short form if her individual gross income is under $50,000, long form if her individual gross annual income is $50,000 or more. At least 5 days prior to the first restitution status hearing date, the defendant shall provide copies of her notarized family law financial affidavit to both her probation officer and the state attorney's office. 12, if for any reason the circuit judge is unable to determine the amount of her minimum monthly restitution payment at the first restitution status hearing, the defendant understands and agrees that she may be required to supplement her proof of employment and income, and or she may be required to complete supplemental family law financial affidavits until such time as the circuit judge is able to determine the amount of the minimum monthly restitution payment. Once a month requirement. In addition to providing the initial and supplemental proof of employment and income, as required in paragraph 8, 9, and 12 above, on or before the 10th day of each month, the defendant shall provide her probation officer with documentation which shows the name, address, and telephone number of her current employer, and documentation which shows all sources of income, including but not limited to copies of cash receipts, paychecks, pay stubs, and or bank statements showing electronic payroll deposits. Once a year requirement. In addition to providing the initial and supplemental family law financial affidavits as required in paragraph 10, 11, and 12 above, on or before the 10th day of July of each year, the defendant shall fully complete and sign under oath in the presence of the notary public a new family law financial affidavit, and the defendant shall provide a notarized copy of the financial affidavit to her probation officer. Once a year requirement, the defendant shall file a federal tax return each year. On or before the 10th day of July each year, the defendant shall provide a probation officer copies of tax documents, including but not limited to Form 1040, which she filed with the United States government earlier that same year, W-2 forms, which she received from her employer earlier that same year, showing earned wages, Form SSA 1099, which she received from the United States government earlier that same year, showing her Social Security benefits, and all other 1099 forms she received earlier that same year showing any additional income earned, including but not limited to interest, dividends, pensions, annuities, IRAs, capital gains, unemployment compensation, and payments from PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, and Cash App. The defendant understands and agrees that if she fails to maintain full-time employment each month and or fails to pay her minimum monthly restitution payment each month, the state attorney's office will request and the Department of Corrections will provide copies of the defendant's employment, income, and tax records. No subpoena or court order will be required, okay? So those are the terms and conditions of your probation. So the short way of saying that, ma'am, is that the sole purpose of putting you on probation is to make you pay this money back. And if at any point you don't comply with the rules of probation, you'll be coming back to have a conversation about whether or not it's a willful and substantial violation, because you're not getting the full amount of prison you're supposed to be getting in this negotiated deal to pay restitution. So if you don't pay it, we'll be talking about how much DOC time you get for a violation, if the state can prove it's willful and substantial. All right, so just keep that in the back of your mind.
Yes, okay? Ma'am. Mm-hmm.
All right, that's the entirety of your sentence. Anything else?
Yes, Your Honor. Regarding the heirs of the Maurice Myers, I provided you with a list of the heirs. Heirs number 1 through 27, it's indicated on the last page that the Department of Corrections will distribute the money that they receive from the defendant in the form of a restitution payment. They will distribute the money to those 27 heirs.
Right.
Heirs 28 through 50, the Department of Corrections will send 78. Your Honor has the figure there on the last page.
75.837.
Yeah, so 75.837% of each restitution payment will be sent to the representative of heirs 28 through 50. And we can file that document, Your Honor.
I'm going to file this with the clerk.
Yes.
And it would be helpful if a copy was given to probation.
Yes.
When
I will do that.
Comes.
Okay. I'll do that.
All right. Anything else you need to discuss?
Just, Your Honor, you're going to order those percentages?
I am. I'm going to provide this to the clerk and order it. I don't know that I need to read all of this into the record for purposes of sentencing. It's just how the restitution is going to get dispersed.
That's right.
And the percentages that were agreed to, correct?
Yeah, and on that note, Judge, I have a check drawn on my trust account that I'm presenting to the clerk's office when we're done here.
Okay. All right, so that's the entirety of your sentence, ma'am. You have 30 days to appeal the judgment and sentence of the court. If you cannot afford a lawyer, one will be appointed for you. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You can see me.
And just finally, Your Honor, can you ask the clerk to file the special conditions of probation and the list of the heirs behind maybe their order of probation or behind the plea file?
I'm going to give the clerk the restitution.
Yes.
Two-page document that you gave me that I read into the record and asked that be filed in the court file so it's there for anyone to see and for probation to see. I'm going to file the special conditions of probation, which are signed by the defendant and for lawyer. And I'm also going to file the restitution percentages, pages 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to file them all with the clerk.
Okay.
Okay?
It's just my request was... just that if the clerk can either kind of put them all together in one PDF, just so that 8 years from now,
that's fine.
The Department of Corrections will be able to find all of those documents.
All right, so we'll just make it all one document. So let's do this then. We'll do special condition. I got it. And we'll just make these documents. And it may be a couple minutes before you can pay downstairs.
Oh, yeah, we're going to go down there right now.
All right.
Give me a couple minutes to put it in.
All right, ma'am, you have 30 days to appeal. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Judge.
All right, thank you. Mr. Peterman, whenever you want to get set up, you're welcome to. I was only 5 minutes on.
That's really good.
Mr. Peterman, are you expecting anybody on Zoom?
No, you're
not. Okay. I am.
Who are you expecting?
Rex Rockler and Stephen there.
What's your name?
Rex Rockler?
Dr. Rex Rockler?
Yeah.
Okay.
Should I keep recording?